The brunches. guys, make me so nervous. Can I just take a moment to honor Pastor Brand and Pastor Sharon, Pastor Kevin and Pastor Donna, Pastor John and Lona, and all the leadership of this church. I honor you. I know for surety that we have the best pastors in the world.
Amen.
We have the best leadership church, the leadership team in any church in the nations of the world. And we have the best church.
Yes.
We have the best church. We are family. We celebrate each other. We cry together. We pray together. We rejoice together. We even move together. We have the best church in the world. I just want to celebrate you all and thank you for coming. You guys are awesome. And I'm just going to talk a little bit. And if I get excited, it's okay. Because God has brought me through a lot. So my excitement is to just say, God, how thankful I am. How blessed I am to celebrate his blessings in my life. To celebrate the gift of life that we have today. To celebrate the fact that we're here today, in this time, in this moment, to change history. Come on, we're not here to play games. We're not here in Alder Grove because we just got up in the morning and got in the vehicles and the vehicles just drove themselves. No, the grace of God, he led you here this morning to change your life, to alter destinies. I guarantee you today that this morning, if you hear the word of the Lord, that this morning, if you'll be purposeful and intentional and hear what God is saying today, you will never be the same. Because every time we come into the presence of God, every time we have an encounter with God, we can't help but get changed. One man wrestled with God till the morning. And after the wrestling, he forever walked with a limp. Because he encountered the power of the living God. So I want you to get ready to shout to the King of Kings and to shout to the Lord of Lords and to celebrate the blessing of God in Alder Grove and to celebrate the blessing of God in your life and to celebrate the blessings of God in your families and to celebrate his blessings and increase here at Windward this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you don't talk to me, I can't preach. I am African. You have to talk to me. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. How do you enlarge your capacity for your blessings? How do you make room for God to bless you? And how do you stay in the blessings of the Lord? How do you create a room big enough that God can continue to pour out his blessing day in and day out, that his blessing will become a part of your life? How do you do that? How many wants to be blessed? How many are already blessed? How many want increase in your life this morning? How many want to expand your capacity to receive more of God, more of his presence, more of his love, more of his anointing? Increase your capacity to receive from God, to receive from God, to receive from God. How many want to increase your capacity that it doesn't matter even what your bank account says, because he is our source. He is the one that owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Come on. Silver and gold, they belong to him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Your capacity to receive your healing, your miracle, and walk in your healing and your miracle for the rest of your life. It is possible to stay, to receive the blessing of God and continue to receive his blessings and sustain his blessings and walk in his blessings and sleep in his blessings for the rest of your life. It's possible to live in the power of the blessing of God in your financial life. It is possible to live in the power and the blessing of God in your physical walk with him every day. It is possible at your workplace to show up and bring the blessing of God, because you are blessing. Isaiah 54. And 1-8. I'm going to read, verse number 2 and 3. It says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right, and you will spread out to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, and do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. To enlarge a boundary of my territory or your territory means to grow large, to grow wide, and to go beyond. To make more room. Pastor Kevin always says, if you need a miracle and you're already so blessed, make room so you can receive more. That's how I live my life. There's no other way to live. Make room for God to bless you. It means to break out. It means to expand, to go further, to occupy new territories. And that there is no limits in God. And there is no boundaries in God. If you can dream with God, you can have it. If you can partner with the kingdom of heaven, you can have it here on earth today. If you can believe it, and if you can trust the power of the living God, you will see the blessing of the Lord in the land of the living. Not when you're dead. You can have it here and now today. If you can believe it. Because he's not a man, and he has never lied. And every word that you speak out and every word that you release into the atmosphere, it has to accomplish that which was purposed to accomplish. Otherwise, God is a liar. And my God is not a liar. And my God is a faithful God. And my God is a provider. And my God is a healer. And my God makes a way for me where there is no way. And my God, even when I'm walking and I hit the wall, that God in heaven will come and recreate it all for me right here, right now, and I can walk through in the name of Jesus. I'm talking about the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, the God who never failed. I'm talking about the God who showed up at the river and boom, blew, and the waters were separate and people were able to walk through. And I'm talking about a God who loves you so much. And his love for you was so intentional that it cost him everything that he had, because he believed that you are capable of making room for him to bless you so you can change your environment, so you can change your world. Hallelujah. You can shout a little bit, because shouting is free. You can even clap if you want, because clapping is free. Hallelujah. Amen. And if your brother Daniel in the back, you can dance just a little bit. Anyways, brother Daniel came to me one day. And they said, Willis, we need to teach these people how to move. And I told him, what does that look like? And he says, Willis, you know, in Africa, we don't go like this. Willis, we move with the music. Anyway, so he's hiding, but you know, he's got the rhythm. I've seen him move. Enlarging your territory is not a myth. The Word of God is the Word of God. It's not a good suggestion. It's the Word of God. It's not something that makes me feel good when I'm going through a really difficult time. The Word of God is the Word of God. When he says, enlarge your territory, when he says, stretch your tent curtains wide, and when he said, lengthen your cords, it is the Word of God. We have a responsibility to obey the Word of God. We have an incredible opportunity here and now to respond to the Word of God. Enlarging your territory and making room for God's blessing is not easy. It's going to cost you something. But we sang this morning, and if you sang with understanding, you said, we're crying out for more, we're ready. I know you sang with understanding that you are ready for God to move in your life. I know you sang with understanding that you're ready for more. Because a season where we came to church and listened to good music and sang good words and went home the same, that season is over. It's time for you, the young and old, to arise and begin to declare with understanding in your spirit that the Word of God is the only sure thing that we have, that the Word of God is the only sure foundation that we have, that the Word of God is the only sure thing that will break every barrier and every bondage in your life that we have. There is nothing else. He is the rock that we stand on every day, in the morning, and in the evening. He is the rock that you stand on. You cannot build on anything else but the foundation of the Word of God. If you build on yourself, you'll destroy yourself. If you build on anything that's not God, it will not last. You will destroy yourself. But the Word of God is the only thing you can build on. So when he tells you, make room because I'm ready to bless you, it's because he's saying make room because he wants to bless you. That's what it says. We make it so complicated. The promises of God are available to you. The promises of God are available to me. You have the same access to the promises of God like Pastor Brent has the same access to the promises of God. The only difference is this. Will you believe the word of God? And will you make room in your life for God to bless you? I traveled only once with Pastor Brent and Pastor Sharon, and my life was forever changed because I realized that these people have made room in their lives for the blessings of God, and they have kept the blessing of God in their life. We are in the right place because we can look to our purpose and say, they have done it. You can do it. And I can do it. And we can do it corporately. So the cost, if you stay with me a little bit, I'm going to preach. Don't worry. I'm going to preach myself happy. If you're not happy, I'll shout along. The word of God will require you to move out of your comfort zone into unfamiliar territory and something you're not very comfortable in. It will require you to get up at 2 in the morning and spend 4 hours with God in the secret place. And don't tell Pastor Kevin, he'll tell everybody. It will cost you moving into the unknown, where you have no idea what is going to happen, but you just know you're here because of God. But the good news is, when you move into the unknown and you move with God, and if He be for you, who can be against you? It will require you to move into a place of complete surrender. We shout, God, I trust you. But I want you to shout an understanding and declare, God, I trust you. And God, I trust you completely. With understanding. So we're going to have this dialogue this morning. You'll be challenged. I know you're going to shout too, because I will. We're going to talk about making room for God to bless you. See, heaven will never run out of resources. But your capacity, your ability to make room in your life, your ability to create capacity in your life to receive the blessing of God will determine how much blessing will come into your life. Heaven's resources are unlimited. The only person that can limit the resources of heaven is you and I. God's word is a sure thing. Heaven's resources are unlimited. The blessing of God never runs dry. It comes and comes and comes and keep coming. In 2 Kings 4, it's a story of a woman. And the jar of oil. You guys remember that? She goes to Elijah and says, my husband is dead. I have no way to care for my son. I can't care for myself. In today's language, I don't have life insurance. Elisha said, what do you have in your house? Sometimes we limit God because we're waiting for more before we can do more for him. But God is saying, what do you have in your hand? If you'll partner with me, I can use what you have today. I have had excuse after excuse where people won't open up. This is family. I'm going to be real. If I've never been to your home, I need to come to your home. I am your family. If she's never been to your home, she needs to come to your home. We are family. So this excuse where you're saying, my house is not big enough, my house is not clean enough, clean it up! God is saying, whatever you have in your hand, what is it you have in your hand? If you will partner with me, I will use it to accomplish what I've set forth to accomplish in your life. Because everything that you need to accomplish the call of God on your life, God has already delivered. His son, Jesus Christ, he died on the cross. He was whipped on the cross for your purpose and your destiny to come forth in the name of Jesus. You've got everything you need to do what God has called you to do. No more excuses in this house. We're going higher. We're going to the top. We're going to a new level. We're going to a different place because we won't stand for excuses anymore. Amen. What do you have in your hands? Give it to me. I'll partner with you and we'll accomplish what I've called you and set you to accomplish. It's not payday. I can't have you for coffee. I fed 10 kids on $20 for one full month. Ask my wife. That's not good enough excuse. My door has never been shut to anybody. It's open every day. You can come to my house anytime because I trust and I serve a big God. And whatever God has put in my hands, I will take it and I'll share with you. I'm not waiting for a big payday before I can make a difference. I wasn't called to make a living. I was called to make a difference here and now. Elisha tells this woman, go and get as many jars as you can. Leave your comfort zone and go knock on doors. You got a jar? Can I have it? Thank you. Leave your comfort zone, get in your car, drive to Aldergrove. Do you have a jar for me? And can I have it? It's work. It's going to cost you something. To go to the next level, it's going to cost you something. To go to the next level, it's going to cost you something. I figured out as soon as I walked into this church why Pastor Kevin has been in the blessing and always stays in the blessing. Serve. I figure out why the prophet, I traveled with the prophet. I was so happy. I was in the Cadillac. I know why he's been able to receive the blessing of God and sustain the blessing of God. Serve. This is your house. This is your church. This is your family. We should never, ever have to beg you to bless the children of this house in Sunday school. Serve. This is your property. God provided this for us for free. I should never send out a text message for a work bee and have two people show up. Serve. The word of God is not complicated, and it really is not hard to be in the blessing and stay in the blessing. Stop making excuses. If you're not blessed today, why are you not blessed today? If you're not blessed today, if you're not walking in the blessing, in the fullness of the blessing of God in your life, you are at the right place at the right time. A windward, where God can bring you in here one way and turn you out here a different way. Serve. So this woman went. She collected some jars and she brought it in. And began to fill up them up with oil. She filled all the jars with oil that she had collected and worked for. And the Bible says that as soon as all the jars were filled, the oil dried up. How much room do you want to create in your life for the blessing of God? If she had collected two jars, only two would have been filled. If she collected three, they would have been filled. If she collected five, they would have been filled. If she collected enough jars to fill a whole sanctuary like this, heaven's resources were unlimited. Every jar would have been filled. Heaven's resources are unlimited. They're only limited by the capacity and the ceiling you put on your life to hold them. What ceiling have you put on your life concerning the blessing of God? How have you held back the hand of God in your life? When He's wanted to bless you, but you've told Him only this much. And you've told Him, no, because I was on the worship team last week, I can't do it today. Serve. And you've told them, no, I'm not employed by the church. I don't get paid here. I can't show up for work. I've got family and I've got this and my life is too busy. Have you ever come to my house? Serve. I got 10 kids. Sometimes I have 12 kids. But I'll never put a ceiling on the blessing of God in my life. Serve. Don't be sad. It's going to get happy soon. This is good for us. We're family. We can be real. I really, 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 really hope you guys can be real with me. Right? If you call, you know, if somebody needs to move on New Year's Eve, serve. I'm not going to limit God because it's New Year's Eve and I need to spend time with my family. I have them every day. What's wrong? Serve. He has given you the time you need, the ability you need, and the resources you need to serve and become everything He's called you to be. To serve and walk in your destiny and your purpose. You have no excuse. Everything at His disposal, He took it and He put it to you. And He said, son, if you partner with me, whatever you have on your hands, serve. I remember years ago, I was still in Africa, and I remember this very vividly because I didn't have shoes, and never had any pants, only had shorts. That's why I don't wear shorts anymore. Got tired of them. And I remember my father was a pastor. He had come home and from Chicago, and he had come home, and we had this truckload that showed up in our house a few days after he arrived. A big lorry, like a big truck thing, right? Really big, right? And he came, and this African man came, and they were so excited. We opened up a little building that we have in front of our house. It's about half, like, from here to there. And they began to unload clothing, pants. I was so happy. I saw the pants. Shoes. I had no shoes. I was like, man, we have arrived. This is good. Surely God has looked over us and blessed us today. And the following week, a word went out to the village. If anybody needs shoes, if anybody needs pants, if anybody needs rice, we had rice as well, bags of rice, come on out to the Otanga's house. The doors will be open at 8 and they'll close when we give away everything. And so we got up really early in the morning, myself and my sister and my younger brother, the three of us got up really early in the morning, and we opened this store, and people were lined up as far as you could see. You guys deal with traffic, we deal with people traffic. And they were lined up, and one by one, they came and they took shoes, and they came and they took pants, and they came and they took shirts. And then there's like just a few left, and I'm looking at my dad. And he gave away absolutely everything. And I was so disappointed. And he told me, son, I am creating room for your blessing. Your miracle is coming. He taught me how to serve, and he taught me how to be a blessing. When you serve and you bless out of what God has put in your hand, your life will never be the same. My children a byproduct of what my father did way back then. I'll come back to Canada years later and have a real struggle with my marriage. God restored because of that blessing, that my father created room for my blessing. Are you creating room in your life for your children to be blessed? I'm talking about your spiritual, your natural children, and I'm talking about your spiritual children. Are we creating room in this church? Are we increasing our capacity in this church for the blessing of the Lord to be the portion that our kids walk in for the rest of their lives? This morning, we are going to redefine what intentional means. Because everything, when I moved to Canada, I realized really, really, really quickly that everybody's really busy, and everybody has cars, and everybody has garages, and you never see anybody, ever, ever, ever. They just drive in, and they drive out. And you never see them, ever, ever, ever. And I began to realize, I asked God, God, how are we going to break the mold? How are we going to walk differently? How are we going to do things differently in this culture with what you've given us in our hands? I've told you, $20 we fed our kids for a month. All our five boys, ask her, she's there. And we realized that if we redefine the word intentional, breakthrough will come to us. That if we redefine the word intentional, we will become the miracle. Like if that word is redefined, I'll get to know my neighbors. So we realized really quickly that the only way that you can do life and do it well, in according to the will and purposes of God, in our busy culture, is to be intentional. Because I don't think God's going to sit there and take us too busy for an excuse. I don't know, maybe he will. When you care for your own children, it's hard, right? It's really difficult. But you care for them because you know children are a blessing from God. You care for them. You don't complain because they are your children. They're yours. They are a blessing from God. When you open up your doors and begin to care for other people, you're taking on their mistakes. Serve. You're taking on their pain. Just serve. You're taking on everything you don't want in your house. Serve. When you're able to get to a place where the house is the most possessed thing in this culture, I realized that really quickly. At home, we just build little huts and we live happy and preach the gospel. But when you take the tool God has given you, your home, and you swing your doors wide open, how you lengthen your cords. That's how you extend the place of your tent. How else are you going to do that? My life has never made sense, but all I know about my life is this. Whatever God has given me, I'm going to use it. I'm going to partner with heaven, and I'm going to use it to accomplish what he has called me to accomplish here and now. And your life, our lives really shouldn't be any different. That's how we're called to live. Right? For every capacity, there is always a corresponding flaw. I'm going to finish this really quickly, and I'm going to preach for 5 minutes. For every capacity, there's always a corresponding flaw. And that's why the Bible says in Luke 6, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Isaiah 119, Psalms 81, 10, God will measure back to you the proportion of capacity that you present to heaven. So here's the deal, man. If what you're experiencing today, if where you find yourself today is below where you need to be in the blessing of God, that's a really, really good sign that you need to expand your capacity to receive the blessing of God, that you need to make room in your life for God to bless you. Because we are called to live an exceptional life. Because we are called to make a blessing in our lives for God to move. Because as a church, we want to see God move and affect our region. We've been talking about this for a while. We want to see our region affected by the blessing of God. Is that true? Yeah. We've been talking about this for a while. We want God through us to affect the city of Alder Grove in such a profound way that for generations to come, they will say, there was a Pastor Kevin that used to minister at Windward, and one morning he got up and he said, enough is enough. I am drawing the line in the sand. I am going after Alder Grove. I will walk into the city and I'll take back what the devil has stolen from me, and things change forever. It will become a memorial stone for generations to come. I know I'm putting some pressure on you, but pressure is a good thing, because you can't go to the next level without pressure. If you want to go to the top, you must learn how to deal with pressure. Pressure from your mother to perform a miracle in Canaan before your time. Pressure from a woman with the issue of blood. Pressure to feed 5,000 people when your disciples had no sense to bring lunch with them. Pressure when you know that people hurt you. Pressure when you walk into your father's house and realize that people have turned your father's house into a den of robbers. Pressure. Pressure. If you're going to go to the top, if you want to go to the top, you must learn how to handle pressure. Pressure with family. Pressure with life. Pressure with your job. Pressure with your new business. Why did I hire that person? Pressure from your children. Natural children and physical sons and daughters. Pressure. If you can't learn to handle pressure, you can't go to the top. I'm talking about the pressure that will cause you to open up your house and open up your hearts and begin to celebrate your family, the Windward family, and begin to celebrate what God is doing in this house and begin to celebrate the sons and daughters of this house. I'm talking about the pressure that will cause you to get up on a Sunday morning and rather than sit here, you go downstairs because you believe you are investing in the next generation. I'm talking about pressure to go to the next level. Pressure to raise up the next generation. Pressure to mentor the next generation. Pressure to make room so the other person can get to the top. Pressure to prefer your brother and sister and tell, no, you first. No, women first. No, you first. Pressure. I'm talking about pressure. Pressure to replace yourself. Pressure to pass on the baton with wisdom and the grace of God. Pressure to groom the next generation. Pressure to love your city. Pressure from your sons and pressure from your daughters. We have to learn how to deal with pressure to go to the next level. You must be able to handle pressure here and now if you want to go to the next level. Because I know for some of us, opening up a home is just about all the pressure we can take. I know for some of us, bringing a dish when we have a potluck is just way too much pressure. You want to go to the next level? You want to transform your city? Pressure. You have to learn to deal with that. You have to say, look, I know I am busy, but I'm not busy enough to co-labor with heaven. If you're too busy to co-labor with heaven, you have missed it completely. The glory of God, the presence of God. We listened to a pastor preach, and he says as he was preaching, he saw a light come and land there. You heard the story. If you didn't hear it, why weren't you in church? Just kidding. Why? Because he learned the secret of staying in the glory of God. See, glory is not feathers falling from heaven. That's a byproduct of the glory. Glory is not even the gold dust that we see sometimes on our hands. Glory is not a cloud in the sky. It's not. Glory is a place you and I get to when we break through the pressure barrier on our knees to the other side and say, God, it's you that we need in our secret place where nobody else sees, where nobody else can give you information that you are with God, because you believe that His word is a sure thing, because you believe that He can make room for you. That is the glory of God. Pressure. We need the young and old that can handle pressure. We need grandparents that can handle pressure right here for where we're going. We need fathers and we need mothers that can handle pressure right here and right now. It's going to take all of us working together to handle the pressure to be able to go to the next level. Because I'm going to tell you this morning, I'm going to announce this morning, a day is coming and is upon us where they will come from that door, and they will come in from that door, and they will come in from that door looking for peace and hope. We need you to be ready. We need you to be ready. Mamas and papas of this house, rise up in the name of Jesus. Young adults in this house, time to rise up in the name of Jesus. Children's ministry, rise up in the name of Jesus. Pressure. We have to come to a place where corporately we can learn how to deal with pressure, because we're all saying, we're crying out for more. We are ready. We are ready. We're crying out for more. We are ready. We are ready. We're crying out for more. Sing with understanding. Speak with understanding from heaven. Walk with understanding. Love with understanding. Just about done, but I haven't preached yet. I got 5 minutes, now I have 10 minutes. You getting anything this morning? Am I too hard on you? No. Solomon is one of the few characters in the Bible that didn't limit God. You say, God, I want all the wisdom. He didn't bring two jars, and when they filled to capacity, there was nothing left to fill. He was really open in terms of what he wanted to see in his life. Before Solomon was king, not much was expected of kings. They were required to govern, handle the affairs of the state, and go to war. But Solomon, because of his ability to expand his capacity, redefined kingship. And because of your ability and my ability to redefine intentional, we are going to the next level. Because we are purposeful people. Because we are focused people. Because everything that happens from the door down here points to something. We are that intentional. Because we're not waiting for Pastor Kevin to go and meet the new guy and greet them and welcome them. Can I be real? This is your church. This is your home. Everybody that walks in through those doors, they're your visitors. How are you going to treat them? If we can redefine intentional and become so purposeful in everything that we do, the person sitting to your neck, right, and to your left, look at them. And behind you, but not in front of you. If you will redefine intentional, those relationships, side by side, behind you and in front of you, will change forever. The conversations you will begin to have more purpose and more meaning. The relationships you begin to cultivate will be purposeful because you have redefined intentional. If we will, as a body of believers, as a church, make room for the blessing of God in our lives, if we can increase our capacity just a little bit, it will change your generation and it will change the generations to come. Joshua chapter number 4, it says, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial of the people of Israel forever. You're going to make history. You are all called to make history. Do you want to make history? You will rewrite history in this city. Do you want to make history? That windward will become a memorial for generations to come because of what God is going to do in a city and how God is going to touch our city. That windward will become a memorial to your children's children and your grandchildren to the 10th generation because of what God did in your city. Because you learned to open up your hearts and expand your capacity to serve. That windward will become a memorial in this region where nations from the world, people from the nations of the world who show up here and say, how did you do it? We'll tell them all we did was learn to increase our capacity and learn to serve every day. that will remember. They'll come and they'll say, what do these stones mean? We'll say, we remember a time when we were in poverty and God plucked us out of poverty because we learned to serve and expand our capacity for the blessing of God. We'll say, what do they mean? They mean a time when I was in bondage, but the chains fell off because of the glory and the presence of God in my life. What do these stones mean? We will tell them they mean that our God is faithful. What do these stones mean? We will tell the nations of the world they mean that God is Jehovah Jireh. He provided for us. What do these stones mean? We will tell them he is my healer. He is my redeemer. What do these stones mean? We're here for such a time as this. We are here to write history. We are here to redefine intention. We are here to love with purpose. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 4, we all know the story. Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the devil came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That was a lot of pressure. But he had to go to the next level. He didn't succumb to pressure. Because he knew that everything that he needed to accomplish what Father sent him here to accomplish, he already had it. He had a choice to make. Partner with heaven or partner with bread. Who are you partnering with this morning? Who is your partner today? Who is your partner today? That's what the devil is saying to Jesus in this story. He is saying this. He's saying, I want to know who God is. I want to know if your God can provide. If you can have the worship team, I want to know who God is. And I want to know. If God can provide. He was wanting Jesus to say, I don't need him. God, I got this. I can handle this. I can do this in my own strength. And if Jesus had come to a place where he chose to partner with the bread, your destiny would have been killed. You'll not be here today. But here's what Jesus said. Jesus said that God is able to provide. Jesus said that God is able to provide abundantly and that God is able to provide exceedingly. Jesus declared that I am the bread of life. He said, I am the miracle and I am the blessing. He said, I don't need to turn any stone into bread. I am the bread of life. I am the miracle. I am the provider. I am the healer. He announced forevermore that he was the bread maker, that he was the miracle worker. He was your healer. And because of his announcement that your life will never be the same again, and because of his announcement that your life and your destiny was altered forevermore, because of his announcement, you didn't have to live in poverty anymore. He plucked you out of poverty and said, the blessing of the Lord is upon you. You are a blessed generation. You are an anointed generation. You are a chosen generation. You are a called generation for such a time as this. Serve. You are the fathers and you are the mothers of this generation. You are the sons and you are the daughters of this generation. You are the sons and you are the daughters of this generation. You are the fathers and you are the mothers of this generation. You are the ones, you are the rock that generations to come are going to build on your ideas, inventions, on your business abilities. Every generation to come, you will measure them if you make room for God in your life. Serve. We are the generation that is redefining intentional. We are breaking the me syndrome. It's not about me, and then me some more. We are breaking that. But for the last time, we are a generation that will lift up our hands in worship and sing with understanding and forever may be changed. We are a generation that will live differently. We are a generation that will connect differently. We are a generation that will love purposely and differently. Will you increase your capacity this morning for the blessing of God to overtake you? Will you make room in your life this morning for the blessing of God to become your portion? Would you increase your capacity and stretch your tent peg so your blessing of the Lord, and so you can walk and you can function and you can minister and you can give out of the overflow? Don't be afraid of the need around you, because the Bible says that our God will meet every need according to his riches in glory. Don't be afraid of the needs you see, because our God is more than able. He is more than able. He is more than able. Don't lose faith. Hang on to the word of God, the only sure thing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Don't be deterred when you feel like your head is under the water in your bills or whatever is going on in your life, because tomorrow this time you will emerge in the presence of God and the blessing of God. Don't be discouraged when King Uzziah dies, because if you look, if you wait a minute, you will see the Lord in the heavens, high and lifted up over every situation in your life. Ezekiel, rise up this morning. God has put a word in your heart. God has put a word in your spirit. You will speak into the dry bones. You will bring life in the name of Jesus.